good day to everybody, and welcome to today's teleclass, which is hosted as ever by Weber Training. Today's speaker is Professor Bjord Margit Andersen, who's a professor in hygiene and infection control and a specialist in microbiology and medical microbiology at the Oslo University Hospital in Ullevål in Norway. Professor Andersen is no stranger to telecast education. Back in 2011, she presented on strategies to control preventable infections in long-term care facilities. And today she's going to be using her extensive experience of over 40 years, during which time she's published 100 peer-reviewed papers. And today she's going to be talking about MRSA, which many of us in Europe look enviously to the northern countries of Europe for their excellent control of MRSA. And today, who better to speak to us about MRSA infection control in a low endemic area? So welcome, Professor Andersen.
Dear colleagues, MRSA infection control in a low endemic area, epidemiology, screening, isolation, sanitation, and follow-up that I will talk about now. Next slide. Staphylococcus aureus is the most common bacteria causing serious diseases in the community. MRSA is Staphylococcus aureus, resistant to most good antibiotics like the penicillin, cephalosporins, carbapenems, and other good antibiotics. And MRSA have a special MECA gene, and a few new ones have MECC genes. Next line. MRSA is spread by contact, by air, and in the environment. And recently also it has been shown that animals may even spread MRSA. Next slide. Airborne infections are more than we believe. Up to 30% of air samples may be positive. After one day, the environment is contaminated. In French, et al., in 2004, demonstrated that 80% of the samples from areas in rooms of MRSA patients were contaminated. And MRSA is also spread by air all over the room in up to 30% of air samples. And this may be a risk for the roommates of MRSA patients that may have a risk of being infected in 10 to 45% of the cases. Most patients with MRSA infections or colonization may shed, therefore, MRSA into the air in hospital room, as shown by Gihano et al. In 2009. MRSA were sampled from the air in most of the rooms with MRSA patients where there was no movement in the room. The distance from the patient in the room and the counter didn't have any effect, no impact on numbers of MRSA isolated from the air. Therefore, airborne transmission is possible, especially during bedmaking and similar activities. Isolation procedures should be the same for colonized and infected MRSA cases. Healthcare workers entering the room should therefore use masks as a part of the PPE. Next slide. The skin flora is rich, and if it is MRSA, it may contain MRSA also. So we are changing our skin every 14 days, and it's a lot of particles that are liberated from our body. Next slide. The skin-borne microbes may also, if it's an MRSA patient, be liberated in the air during movement. And this is Tamlin in 2000, who showed that different subjects may liberate different amounts of skin particles and bacteria into the air. Next slide. MRSA is both inside and outside healthcare. The healthcare-associated strains are more often resistant to antibiotics, are less virulent, other CC mix do they have, and there is a contact with healthcare. The community-associated are less resistant, can be more virulent, and have special SCC mix, and there is usually no contact with healthcare. But today, we have often a mixture of HA and CA, both inside and outside healthcare. And so we have the new ones, the HACO, that is the Healthcare Associated Community Onset MSA, and I will talk about that later on. Next slide. MSA may be found in chronic eczema and in abscesses, as you see here. Next slide. Impetigo and other skin diseases, as you see here. Next slide. Postoperative wound infections with MSA are causing extra costs, extra day in hospital care, and a higher risk of death, as shown by Anderson in 2008, who retrospectively studied 7 hospitals in USA. And they looked at results from 90 days postoperative period, and studied patients with postoperative wound infections with MSA and compared it to uninfected cases. Not MSA 231, that is uninfected cases. So the days in hospital was increased when you had the MSA infection. They were more often transferred to other healthcare. They were more often readmitted, and the death rate was much higher. And the extra costs per MSA patient was high, $50,000, and even more today. Next slide. MSA can cause a serious disease with attack rate up to 30%. It is endemic in USA. 2 million infections per year is estimated, and 19,000 dies every year. That is 6.1 per 100,000 of the population. And more Americans die every year from MSA than from HIV, AIDS, and influenza, and from group A streptococci and pneumonia and meningitis together. Recently, there has been found a reduction in deaths from MSA in USA, estimated to be 11,300 cases, that is 3.4 out of 100,000. Next slide. How have we fallen so far behind in the battle to beat MSA in UK? That is to quote Telegraph in 2007. A new strain of lung-eating MSA spreading rapidly through our hospitals, augmenting the 8,000 plus cases in the UK last year. And the estimated death was 5,000 per year in UK. Next slide. MSA epidemiology. Global infections with Staphylococcus aureus is estimated to be approximately 2 billion. MSA, 5 to 53 million. Next slide. And the three main epidemiological patterns are healthcare-associated MSA, community-associated MSA, and the new discovered animal MSA. A high prevalence of MSA colonization among pig farms was first noted in the Netherlands in 2005 and later on in Denmark in 2008. Transmissions between humans and different livestock animals are described, and some of the animal-associated MSA types have the capacity for pandemic spread in humans. The livestock-associated CC398, mostly found in pig farms, are bacteria that have made human to animal host jumps, while the bovine mastitis CC97 is a result of bovine to human host jumps. And in USA, up to 45% of swine workers have been reported infected with MSA, and families living and working in the farm may have increased risk of MSA, as shown recently now in Denmark. Next slide. MSA was a global health threat in 2006. And you see the red parties in North and South America, Australia, northern and southern part of Africa, and southern part of Europe. Next slide. And even more a health threat today. And now you see America's to the right with more than 50% of MRSA in hospital are MRSA. And you see Australia, Asia, and Europe, and some small green countries up in the north that do not have that color. We can take a look at that. And MRSA in Europe in 2013. Then some countries in up in north and the Netherlands had less than 5% MRSA among their clinical staphylococci, while in Italy, for instance, 25 to 50% of the staphylococci were MRSA, and even more in Portugal. Next slide. The French started a battle against MRSA in 2001, and as you can see from the map to the right, France had between 25 and 50% of MRSA among their staphylococci. Next slide. And France reduced MRSA infections from 2001 to 2006. And that happened in all kinds of hospitals, local hospitals, private hospitals, and even in rehabilitation centers and long-term care. And it was highly statistical significant. Next slide. And France is now trying to become MRSA green like Norway in 2018. And you see, they have moved France up beside Norway. But it is not so sure that Norway may be as green in 2018. Next slide. While superbug panic Britons are driven abroad for treatment in Scandinavia or Holland, that is in 2005, record 50,000 patients by treatment overseas because of fears of superbugs. Next slide. In USA, the national estimated incidence rate of invasive MRSA infections is going down, is reduced, and that is especially happening in hospital onset MRSA and healthcare associated community onset strains. But the community associated strains are not changing. Next slide. The MRSA problem is partly associated with overuse of antibiotics, as you can see from the ECDC 2013. Between 30 and 45% of patients in the Nordic countries are using antibiotics in 2012, and that is more than Germany and France, as you can see here. Among the Nordic countries, especially Denmark and Finland, report a rather high rate of patients on antibiotics. In USA, nearly 80% of antibiotics are used in livestock feeds. Most is not absorbed and end up in manure, which contains antibiotic-resistant bacteria and resistance genes. This is subsequently applied to crop fields, where it may be a risk for MRSA infections in the community. In Pennsylvania, Casey and co-workers have recently shown that the highest swine crop field exposure was significantly associated with different MRSA types and skin and soft tissue infection. And now it's a growing concern about the potential public health impacts of high-density livestock production and the high use of antibiotics. Next slide. There is a global increase of MRSA reservoirs in long-term care, as you can see here. And special problems are decubitus ulcers, catheters and skin infections and multiple site colonization. And the epidemiological impact of MRSA is related to hospital admissions and severe infections. Next slide. The persistent MSA predominates in nursing homes there which are without infection control. So when it's not infection control in nursing home, more than half have persistent colonization. Nearly one out of three colonized develop infection, and it's long-lasting, and it can transmit MSA to others. Next slide. This is from USA. Among cases with prior hospitalization, nearly two-thirds develop their MSA infections within 3 months of hospital discharge. And this is the healthcare-associated community-onset infections. And that is important to be to remember this. Next slide. Healthcare personnel is another important source of MSA infections. Ulrich and Harbart in 2008 demonstrated or found that 5.3% of healthcare persons in Northern Europe, including the Netherlands, were carriers of MSA. Next slide. And I show that among the huge number of healthcare persons from 37 countries, that 4.5 were carriers and 5.1 had clinical infection, and risk factors were chronic skin disease, low hygiene, and work in countries with endemic MSA. And outbreaks, of course, were associated with persistent carrier states among the personnel. And the spread of infection occurred from personnel to patients in most cases. MSA decolonization in healthcare workers was successful in most of the cases. But when there was an extramuscular colonization, that was associated with persistent carrier states. Next slide. Epidemiology in the green countries. Next slide. MSA infections are increasing also in the Nordic countries. It is only the Iceland that goes down in 2004. This is the study of Robert Skov in August 2005. Next slide. They observed that the increase of MSA had occurred despite no changes in the strict infection control policies in the Nordic countries. Next slide. And most MSA patients do not have a connection to foreign healthcare facilities anymore, and there is no longer confined to hospitals, and it is community onset. And the increase in the community has led to increased introduction of MSA to hospitals. And there is outbreaks reported from nursing homes. Next slide. Skov et al. Observed that the MSA increase seems to be more limited in areas where strict MSA infection control policies have been upheld and in areas where there is a vigorous eradication of MSA carriage in community-acquired cases. And this indicates that containment may be possible. Next slide. But what did really happen in the Nordic countries after 2003? There were really new guidelines, and they were not so strict as earlier. It was a change in infection control strategy outside the hospitals. There was lack of infection control routines in nursing homes. There was no infection control in primary healthcare. And the increase of MSA in healthcare workers occurred. And in addition, we have more vacation, and still that's more vacation and tourist medicine from abroad. And that is only increasing also in Norway. Next slide. The new MSA guidelines reduced the infection control level in the Nordic countries from 2003. Next slide. So we can look at each country. In Finland, they have not had any increase in MSA registered. but they are registering only blood and CSF in addition to MRSA carriers. The screening is usually not done in exposed healthcare workers. Next slide. But in Sweden, the MRSA infection is increasing. In 2012, 22 persons out of 100,000 inhabitants were infected. Next slide. In Denmark, it is including colonized and infected. 28 approximately of 100,000 inhabitants were MRSA positive, colonized or infected. And this is the highest number of cases observed in over 25 years, an increase of 20% since 2011. And now we can see at the next slide now, that is infections in Denmark during the period 2007 and to 2012. Among the community acquired MRSA, more than 50% had known exposure to another with MRSA. The animal-associated CC 398 is increasing, and it is 100% tetracycline resistant. MECC instead of MECA gene is now found in 24 cases in Denmark. And as you see the figure here, the orange one, that is community acquired MRSA in Denmark, is increasing. The blue one, that is imported, is increasing. The green one, the healthcare associated community onset, is not increasing. But the animal associated CC398 is increasing, while the dark blue hospital acquired MRSA is not increasing in Denmark. Next slide. MRSA belonging to the clonal complex CC398 has been closely connected to the livestock animals, especially pigs, and increasingly affects people in direct contact with pigs in Denmark. The prevalence of MRSA in pigs at slaughter has increased to 77%. And as you see from this table, the 10 most prevalent spa types demonstrated in MRSA cases in Denmark. You see the top of those 10, that is the animal CC398. And to the right, you can see it may also cause infections in humans. Next slide. In Norway, MRSA also increases rapidly in hospital, in outpatients, and a little bit up and down in nursing homes. Next slide. The development is steep up in Norway, and it is half infection and half carrier cases. Next slide. And still, there is a high number infected abroad coming back to Norway with MRSA. The dark one, HA MRSA, is not increasing. The green, the community associated, is increasing, and infected abroad is increasing in Norway. Next slide. So in Norway in 2012, 21 out of 100,000 are infected. That is 50% infected, 50% carriers. And livestock animal associated MRSA has now been detected in 5 human cases in 2012, and there is still only 2 cases with MECC instead of MECA. Among animals in Norway, MRSA was not found in bovine mastitis. MRSA was in only 1 sample from swine, but a slaughterhouse was contaminated with CC398 in 2011, and I didn't know where it came from. Next slide. So, the incidence of MRSA is still increasing in Sweden, Denmark, and Norway, and we do not know quite so much about Finland, but it doesn't seem to increase. Next slide. The MRSA increases among healthcare personnel in Norway. MRSA policies may spread infections by hands, nose, uniforms, equipment, environment, and air. And among 3,600 new cases in Norway for some years ago, 7% were healthcare persons. And among the cases found in nursing homes, 20% were healthcare workers. That is much. Next slide. So you can see from this curve that MRSA among healthcare personnel has increased rapidly since 2004. Next slide. However, the population are protected by law against MRSA in Norway. MRSA is hazardous to the people. MRSA should be less than 1% of Staphylococcus aureus strains. And population and healthcare workers should not be exposed unnecessarily to MRSA. That we have an Infection Control Act or regulation, and we have a Work Environment Act or regulation. Next slide. So I'll talk a little bit about MRSA screening, nose, throat, perineum, hands, wrist, wounds, catheter, eczema, and so on, what we are doing at our hospital. So we have done MRSA screening in parallels. We take parallels samples for growth in cultures and parallel samples for rapid PCR test. That takes 72 minutes. And we are using GeneXpert polymerase chain reaction method, Cepheid from USA. That is a bedside test in a way. Next slide. Here is the result, and as you can see, the body size colonization may vary from time to time. So we do not have so many cases, but you can see that nose alone, throat alone, hands and wrist alone, we do not get the 100% cases of MRSA, even if we know they have MRSA. Next slide. The correspondence between rapid test and growth test is 93% in MRSA cases in this study. And especially the negative predictive value is important for us. The expert MRSA, also the rapid test, is very high, and growth is also very high concerning negative predictive values. And the detection rate of MRSA in MRSA cases was lower than 50% in samples from nose, throat, hands, wrist, and perineum. And if we combined these four sites, still we may miss 10 to 15% of the cases, even if we know they are MRSA positive. And so, in addition, I can tell you that in most screening studies, like this one, there may be a mixture of health care associated, community associated, and other associated types of MRSA. And Young and co-workers demonstrated that body site colonization in patients with community-associated MRSA may be different from that of healthcare-associated MRSA. They found that approximately half of the samples from the nose of cases with healthcare-associated MRSA may be positive, but only one out of four nose samples from community-associated MRSA. And in carriers of community-associated MRSA that do not have any infection, less than 40% of overall routine screening sites on the body may be positive. So in carriers of this type, if they do not have infections, most cases may not be detected. So that is a concern. Next slide. In our small study, we looked at cost and savings of rapid tests, and the rapid test saved at least €925 per personnel and €550 per patient that were MRSA negative. And of course, you know that the rapid PCR test has to be developed every year because it is new strains coming up regularly that is not covered by this rapid test. Next slide. This is a slide from Chang et al. In 2010 and shows MRSA contamination and density. This figure shows the contamination skin and environment from MRSA patients at admission before results of screening is available. Before any isolation precautions can be implemented, newly identified MRSA carriers frequently have contaminated their environment with MRSA and have contamination on commonly examined skin sites like the chest, the abdomen, forearm and hands like you see here. And carriers are likely to spread as much MRSA as clinical patients. So in hospitals that perform active surveillance, strategies are needed to minimize delays in screening or to preemptively identify patients at high risk for disseminating MRSA. In this study, one out of five patients with MRSA had contaminated the environment within 25 hours after admission. Next slide. Therefore, screen from several anatomic sites, and you know MRSA screening saves lives. MRSA epidemic spreading globally. You know the World MRSA in USA, October the 2nd have been. Next slide. So what we are doing at our hospital, that is, we are screening patients and personnel with the same procedures. Have they been abroad, worked abroad, been in hospitals abroad, or exposed to MRSA in Norway, or earlier been MRSA positive either? They are tested. And they are tested in isolate or single room, and personnel are using protection, masks, gowns, and gloves. Next slide. So here is what we are doing. the personnel is answering yes, we are prefer screening before admittance. And the personnel are screened like patients during outbreak in the hospital. And the doctor in charge is the internal coordinator. And we make a list of exposed persons, and it is very important to inform the laboratory of number of persons that may be tested, because then they can set other things aside to give us a very rapid answer. And personnel who have been in unprotected contact with MRSA patients or their equipment are screened, and when they are waiting for answer, they are using mask, gloves and gown when in contact with patients to not contaminate others or around themselves. Test equipment, I will tell you. Sampling sites, I will tell you. But one test set we are using, that is a test set with four test samples from nostril, throat, hands, wrist, perineum. Next slide. Now I'm going so fast I can through this. The screening procedure. Always moisten the swab to get enough material. Roll the swab three times around in each nostril outer part. Swab tonsil region and above uvula three times. Swab both hands between fingers, fingertips and wrists. Swab between urethra and rectum three times. Personal, they take their own samples. And wound, eczema and so on, swab over actual sites. And all types of catheter drainages, moistness swab and swab around sites and take secret samples. That is what we are doing. Next slide. So we are testing the patient and the tester is using personal protective equipment like here. Next slide. So, information to the laboratory and doctor in charge. We are right marking the schema with import and MSR like that. And so it is one thing that is very important, and that is to direct deliver the samples to the laboratory, not sending it in the post, internal post like that. Next slide. Results of screening, what to do. If we have negative test set, no MSI. Treated as ordinary patient or personnel into the department. If earlier MSA positive or the sampling is performed during treatment or sanitation, then we take more follow-up tests and isolation will still go on. If it's a positive test, then we are further isolating the patient, start disinfection as soon as possible and flag out the journal and inform all contacts not having used PPE to be screened. After three negative test sets of the patient, starting 7 days after treatment, we call it inactive MSA, and personnel can go back to job for further follow-up. And the further follow-up for 12 months, that is 3, 6, 9, 12 months, all consecutive test negative, then probably MSA negative. Next slide. Isolation and use of personal protective equipment. Next slide. Isolation is a specific infection control problem. Because patients need contact and treatment, there is shortage of isolates, shortage of nurses, novelists, and personal protective equipment, like especially in nursing homes. However, patients in short-term isolation in hospitals had a positive attitude towards isolation, to quote Waffenberg in 2010. Next slide. Isolate and use PPE when needed and have a negative air pressure if it is present there with sluice, patient room, bathroom, and shower. Be sure that you have the negative pressure in Pascal. Next slide. It may also be isolation units in nursing homes, as you see here. Next slide. And use PPE that is gown, gloves, cap, and mask. Gloves with long cuffs adjusted to the suspected microbe, and learn and train to dress and undress PPE. And remember that the gowns may be single use, and that is very cheap, at least in Norway. Next slide. So, over to sanitation and decolonization. First of all, I do not recommend universal decolonization to generally prevent ICU infections or surgical site infections, as has been done now recently. The reason is the risk of the development of resistance to chlorhexidine and to mupirocin. The decolonization is only recommended to MSA colonized or infected cases. Next slide. All cases in Norway should be offered decolonization. Screen all relevant anatomical sites with one or more tests of MSA before sanitation to confirm the finding and for mapping out positive sites. The antibiotic sensitivity scheme for actual MSA isolate should be present, and do not forget the mupirocin resistant schemes. Inform patients and relatives, start all sanitation procedures at once and as early as possible with or without additional antibacterial treatment. Decontaminate environment each day to reduce recontamination, and follow up with control test sets starting 7 days after finished sanitation. Next slide. This is the regular sanitation for 10 days. The disinfection agents are Hibiscus or Steliceft, not to be used if dermatological side effects occur and not inside ear, especially concerning Hibiscus. So, body washing 2 times 2 minutes each time with thorough cleaning, with water between and after each wash. Here, perineum, between toes, umbilicus, it's important. Use Q-tips in narrow sites. And disinfect the outer side of the bottle after use to not re-contaminate yourself. Rinse the walls of the cabinet with warm water to get rid of the MSA. Place the feet on a clean towel or a disinfected area. Dry with a clean towel and both towels are treated as contaminated. Change to clean personal and bed clothes after each body disinfection. And textiles should be washed at least 65 degrees Celsius. Next slide. Disinfect the nose with Bactroban Nasal, that is mupirocin, 3 times a day in 10 days. And again, disinfect hands and the outside of the tube with alcoholic hand disinfection and use a Q-tip or single cloth to treat the nasal cavity with Bactroban. And disinfect the mouth and throat 3 times a day in 10 days. Use chlorhexidine mouth rinse or the other mouth rinses. And again, disinfect hands and outside of the bottle, new cup for each rinse, and rinse the mouth thoroughly. Place the head backwards while gurgling the rinsing water and do, of course, not swallow. Next time. Toothbrushing and cleaning of tooth prostheses 2 times a day in 10 days. Disinfect hands and outside again of the tooth pasta, new cup or single-use cup. Rinse the toothbrush in hot water. And so disinfect all personal equipment 2 times a day in 10 days. Combs, glasses, eye lenses, and avoid wearing watch, jewelry, makeup. And throw away the makeup. It is rather expensive, but MSA may grow well in makeup and in creams. So use skin cream in small single cup portions to avoid recontamination, and hand and soap may be contaminated, of course, of MSA, so be careful. Next slide. Hand hygiene with alcohol-based disinfectants with glycerol 10 to 20 times a day, or use hand tissues with disinfectants. Environmental disinfections once a day in 10 days. And it is important with surfaces, bed railings, door handles, knobs, and everywhere you are touching very much. And remember, the change of bed and personal textiles each time after sanitation. We have the made sanitation set to assist persons that is going for sanitation at home. We have made complete packed boxes with necessary equipment for 5 days, including single-use bed textiles. And that may be used other places also. Next slide. Decolonized MSA positive carriers before birth and before elective operations. Next slide. Be care of possible soap inactivation when using Hibiscus. Hibiscus, as you know, is chlorhexidine gluconate, 40 mg per milliliter. Use no soap in addition. That may inactivate the disinfectant. Use no onion-containing lotions at the same time. For body lotion, we recommend Sterisol or Dax body lotion. Next slide. We are using gas disinfection with 5% hydrogen peroxide dry mist when we have outbreaks of MSA and other resistant bacteria. And then we are open all lockers and disinfect the whole rooms and equipment. And we do it in 3 cycles, and it takes 3 to 5 hours. And we are filling the rooms with 5% very dry hydrogen peroxide. And we put in a spore test or more to be sure that this has effect. Next slide. As you know, there is a lot of medical equipment that is used by patients both inside and outside hospitals and in nursing homes, as you see here. And they may be very contaminated with MRSA. Next slide. So, disinfect medical equipment, internal parts, and use dry hydrogen peroxide gas again. And we have used that and put spore tests inside these equipment and get negative and kill the spores and kill most bacteria. Next slide. And when we have outbreaks in clinical departments, ambulances, and operation theaters, then again we are using 5% hydrogen peroxide dry gas. We are closing the rooms and filling up with this gas and placing spore tests, of course. And it takes between 3 to 5 hours each time because we are have to use 5 gas cycles in this with this gas disinfection. Next time. The follow-up. Follow-up after sanitation, 7 to 14 days after completed sanitation. Then we are starting screening once a week in 1 month. And that is especially important to follow up healthcare personnel. If MRSA is negative, then we are going on screening after 3, 6, 9, and 12 months. Each time, 3 sample sets taken with 1 to 2 days interface. And now I will show you the effect of strict infection control in nursing home A and B in Oslo. They had the same MRSA strain. The A nursing home in January 2004, an index came from a hospital in Oslo to a nursing home. After some time, they discovered that the patient was MRSA positive and others were infected. So the national guideline was used and implemented. But it was going on. And in November 2004, it was 20 new MRSA cases. And then my department, our hospital, was asked to help them. And then they agreed to use the Ullevål standard, the strict infection control standard. And we started in November 2004, and there was no more cases, and all cases were, that had been positive were negative after 1 year. Later on in 2007, one healthcare person that had been in this nursing home was later discovered in a hospital sample in another hospital. So, the nursing home B, in springtime 2004, there were a few cases. The national guideline for MRSA was implemented. In 2005, even more cases. The national guideline still used. 2006 summer, more than 60 cases, including personnel. In 2006 autumn, still ongoing outbreak. And in 2009, still a very huge problem, and still the national guideline was used. And this ended in closure of the health institution, and still problems in several nursing homes in and around Oslo. So, next slide. MRSA in the green countries like Norway. Prevalence of MRSA is still growing, but increasing. According to the Norwegian infection control law, patients and healthcare workers from healthcare abroad are screened for MRSA and also when exposed to MRSA in Norway. MRSA carriage may lead to unemployment in Norwegian healthcare. So therefore, identification and sanitation is important. The rapid increase of MRSA in some of the low endemic Nordic countries is a growing concern. The further development is dependent on a more active infection control. A better general hygiene, both in hospitals and in nursing homes, and more stringent use of antibiotics in the healthcare. But even more important is the serious and rapid development of livestock-associated MRSA that cause human diseases. MRSA may be an indicator for other resistant human-related bacteria in animals. Therefore, most important in the future is a good quality of infection control in livestock, an excellent hygiene, and a very low use of antimicrobial agent in animal livestock, slaughterhouses, and in other food production. Next slide. Thank you for your attention.
Well, thank you very much indeed, Professor Anderson, for that very comprehensive review of the changing global epidemiology. You've covered a wide range of topics and reminded us of the importance of follow-up of patients who are not in hospital, and have demonstrated that when countries put good programs into place, that containment is possible. France have done very good work, and in England now, MRSA bloodstream infection is down 95% over the last 10 years. You've given us a very good review of the screening and reminded us of the importance of screening multiple sites, which I think sometimes people have tended to cut back on a bit, and given us very good information on the protocols used in Norway and the Norwegian approach to isolation. You gave us very practical advice on sanitation and suppression of MRSA in patients, and just in the last couple of slides highlighted exactly what the problems are when guidelines are not implemented well. I completely agree with you that the animal associations are very much an emerging issue, and which are going to definitely challenge us in the future, because the carriage rate in that important group is really going to affect human health in the future. I hope you've enjoyed today's teleclass. Would remind you that there are any number of good upcoming teleclasses over the next few weeks and towards the end of the year in the teleclass series. The team are currently working on the program for next year's exciting series of teleclasses. And can I thank our patron sponsors of teleclass education? That's Virox Technologies, the World Health Organization, and the Center for Research on Environmental Microbiology. Thank you very much indeed for listening.